I am so glad to say an honor to be back on the Newsline with Dr. Charlotte Collins. She's a clinical psychologist and the division chief at Geisinger's Center for Professionalism and Well-Being at Geisinger. We met her last year as she was really shepherding not only particular employees that would come to her, but some of the staff leaders and fellow psychologists and psychiatrists at Geisinger through the pandemic. And of course, all of the workers there were eligible to receive some of her help and counseling, and even patients had an opportunity to see some of the real helps that were distributed by her office last year and throughout this year as well. Dr. Collins, thank you so much for taking some time out to talk to us today.
Well, it's great to be here.
Well, I thought when we first spoke last April of 2020 that if we were to talk again this August, this year, that we would just be talking about, boy, that was quite the year. But it's ongoing. The pandemic influences are still at play in terms of mental health and well-being. So kind of summarize, if you can, how this is still at play in terms of our well-being and our psyche and our mental health.
Well, I was hoping, as you were, that we would be have this all behind us and we would be in a different place. And yet, here we are, or not. I think that the accumulation of, 18 months of this, that many of us are just emotionally exhausted after this year and a half. And healthcare workers in particular, it's been a long, hard push to get through this. And then we, of course, had many patients coming back who couldn't come in. So when things settled down with the pandemic, we had people coming back in to get their health care needs taken care of. And then, as you know, and we all know, there's been various surges that have made this challenging in an ongoing way. And then, I don't know, somewhere in the summer, early summer, we thought our lives were going back to a little bit of normalcy. And there were many people vaccinated. And we were, felt like we were on the road to a better place. I think that interestingly, sometimes it's that pausing where people notice the actual impact that something like this has had upon their mental health and well-being. And so as people pause from just working their way through it, they notice that there had been a toll on them. And what we've actually seen is that some people are psychologically injured, right, from pushing through and not attending to their own well-being and their mental health, both healthcare and outside of healthcare, and they're finding it kind of hard to manage and have now started dealing with some of that. And here's the problem, I guess, for across the country, it's not just us, but with this increase in distress and psychological symptoms that everyone's feeling, we have a lack of resources to deal with them. And this is never more true than in rural areas where we always have a bit less resources for mental health and well-being than the rest of the country to begin with. And so one of the challenges is really being able to find the mental health services that you need. And now on top of that, we've got this Delta variant, which is making us all a bit nervous. In healthcare, we're noticing the numbers going up and we're wondering, is this going to be another big surge as we've seen happen in other places in the country? And that's pretty unsettling for a lot of us, especially in healthcare. So we're at a kind of point where we're not sure what the next step is going to be. And we're trying to take care of ourselves as best we can, wondering what next we have to face.
Well, I remember last year you said it's okay to not be okay. I guess I'd ask you to kind of reiterate that. Here we are in year two of all of this, and more folks are probably at that point where they would agree or they would accept that remark.
Yeah, I think it's really important to pay attention to how we're doing. And I think when we get busy and when we're worried about others or we're doing our job to the best of our ability, we often put ourselves all the way on the back burner. And so the most important thing now, I think, is to really notice and pay attention to how you are and then take some proactive steps to take care of yourself in a little better way, because it's very common that people are struggling. And I think all of us now have seen ourselves struggle or have noticed it in other people we care about or people we work with. And so maybe it's a little easier now to say, yeah, this has been tough and I've struggled too.
Well, thank you for doing the helpful videos that you did that talked about being kind and sort of accepting the fact that it's okay to be scared. I think those kind of things went a long way. I know when we saw them on the Twitter feed from Geisinger, we shared them, and they got quite a bit of play. So that would be one thing that you've done that we're certainly appreciative of. Tell us about workplace well-being. This, of course, just correlates to your first answer, but is it feasible to summarize how workers are doing, the workers that you encounter?
Yes, well, I think it's interesting because the workplace both adds stress and helps with stress at the same time. So we still have the pressure of all the pandemic effects. They've taken a toll, as I said previously. On the other hand, those who work in healthcare really understand each other and what they're facing, and they really can be a source of support. And we've noticed that a lot in our system. And then at Geisinger, we have built-in resources for individuals to reach out at the Center for Professionalism and Well-Being and our Employee Assistance Program. So we have this kind of built-in system, and we've been really promoting that and trying to inform people about that so they know how to reach out. In addition, we've actually begun to bring resources to individuals and teams. We've done a lot of team discussions and presentations about stress and managing stress. We've done a lot of individual rounding now in our ICUs and some of our COVID floors in particular. People were saying to us, well, we would reach out, but we feel like we don't have time and we're tired at the end of our shifts. If only someone was around more often. And so we have built in those resources and have piloted that at our main hospital and are now going to add them to every hospital, where some part of the week there's someone rounding and just checking in with people. How are you doing? What do you need? How's it going? Now that person can be identified as someone they can chat with just on the fly. And we've done some brief presentations about how to get through a challenging day and things like that right on the floor where everyone's working, and those seem to be really well received. So that was an idea that came from our nurses and providers on the floor, and we said that's a good idea, and we've moved forward with that, and it's had good results, as I said.
Well, I can't help but I automatically, when you were describing that, think it's potentially life-saving that you'd have that weekly contact.
Yeah, it is, and I think it's helped us help people know the resources and encourage them to reach out. There's still a stigma about mental health or healthcare workers who see themselves as very strong, that the fact that they're struggling. But we've really encouraged that, and I think that has led to more people feeling easier about reaching out for that help. And we've also talked to a couple people who are really struggling at that moment and have been able to do something right then and there.
As far as everybody else out in the community or the people who work in the whole Geisinger system, relationships, how have they changed and evolved? How have the stresses of the pandemic impacted our relationships with our colleagues and with our significant others and so on?
I think that's a great question. Because you know what? Significant life events do change us, right? Now, it affects some people more than others, and it affects people in different ways. But one thing that's common when people come up against a significant event, which this pandemic clearly has been, is that it gives us a chance to reset our priorities, to live closer to our values. And many times it actually brings us closer to the people we care about. We start looking at what are the things that are most important to us. And some in healthcare, the pandemic actually reinforced that this is their life work and that they feel their life has great purpose in all that they do. we all want to be doing purposeful, meaningful work. And so I think this has helped us look at that and see, is this where we belong? How can we make a difference? But by the same token, unfortunately, the pandemic has caused rifts in relationships too, right? Like masking and vaccines have become divisive issues. And this is really unfortunate because we need each other more than ever now. I always think about crises that come upon us, whether they're an individual personal crisis, a family crisis, a community crisis, or a national crisis as this has been. It provides an opportunity for us to grow and make positive changes. So if we can stay focused on how to do that for ourselves and for those we care about, it's something we all can do, right? We can all look and grow from difficult challenges that we face, and that helps us through struggles that we may face moving forward. And I'm hoping that the pandemic is one of those that won't be along too much around us too much longer, and that we can put in our rearview mirror. But we can also look back about what we learned about ourselves, how we grew, and how we deepened some of our relationships and connections in the world as a result.
I just love what you just said, this idea that this incident has changed us. So how have we changed since the pandemic began? Is it feasible to do some sort of a summary of that?
Well, I think we've all been through and experienced something that hopefully is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. But having to pull back and stop connecting with other people and having to focus on safety and taking care of folks, I think has pulled us a little bit inward. And we are social creatures, and so you see this as we were able to get back out, how much we want to be connected, how much we miss seeing our families and just sitting down to lunch with our coworkers. And so I think we've come out of this with a new appreciation of how important certain people in our life are and how critical those connections and being able to do things that we took for granted before is to our life and our own well-being.
A lot of people are not going back to jobs because they say that the unemployment funding is satisfactory, and so they don't want to go back to work. Maybe some of this unemployment might be related to the fact that X number of people, you know, certainly a small percentage, have said, well, geez, if my spouse is working like a dog, maybe I don't have to, or anything at all related to that.
Yeah, I hear varying things about that. So I would go back to what I talked about earlier, is that I think what it's done, this pause, has allowed us to think about who we want to be and what we want to be doing in our life. And maybe some of that working crazy hard, I know I've heard stuff about restaurant workers who said, I just don't want to go back to that pressure cooker. Sometimes you don't recognize you're in a pressure cooker until you get out of it. You just are proceeding forward. It's kind of like that frog in the pond that slowly gets warm, and then all of a sudden it's cooked. And if you threw it directly into hot water, it would jump out. But that slow continuation of the heat heating up just lulls us into thinking this is just how it is. So I think this moment where we're really looking at our lives and ourselves and what we want and what we think is important, it's changed some of us, and it's realigned some priorities. And that's how I would kind of phrase it. So maybe people don't feel like they need to work two jobs, but they don't have to have all the things that they felt like they had to have before, and so they can do more. Or that job was really negatively impacting their well-being, and they want to look for something different that might be more fulfilling and less stressful.
Anything else you want to add?
Just to say, you know, check in with yourself and see how you're doing, and then reach out if you need help. Look out for others and check in with them, and let's all pull together and get to the other side of this as soon as we can.
Dr. Charlotte Collins, clinical psychologist, the division chief at the Center for Professionalism and Wellbeing at Geisinger, thank you so, so much for talking to us again.
You're most welcome.